Now, turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12. And, man, David, I can hear it. So, today, I'm going to go in a little different route than what I normally go. And since I've been doing this here, I've had one thing in mind, and I've told you before, there's a sign on the window out here that said, where Jesus brings comfort. And I've always tried to keep that in mind, and I've always wanted that to be the focus, and it is the focus. And I try never to get off that. And I also know that our emphasis should be on Christ. Should be on Jesus. I shouldn't go down rabbit trails. I try never to get up here and give my opinion on things. God's been so good to us. Jesus has been so good to us that I always want my focus to be on Jesus, the price that he paid, the power of the cross, the power of the death, burial, and the resurrection, and the power of his grace. But in doing so, it bothers me when I see that great power, that great love, everything that Jesus has done for us, and we know that he's the way, the truth, and the life. I hate it when the world just tramples it underfoot, scoffs at it, makes fun of it, acts like it's nothing, and and especially at this time of year where we're at, it is, I guess, got to me a little bit. And here on the first Sunday in June, I think it's the perfect time to speak about this, because in the month of June, we will hear more about inclusion and total inclusion than any other time of the year. We're already bombarded with it year-round, but now we have a whole month. It isn't just about social issues, though. And I'm not going to get up here and, like I said, and go down that trail. I want to keep this on Christ. But now, brought in with the inclusion, we had the hot-button issues now are in religion, Christianity, and yes, Jesus Christ himself. I can remember, and Brother Leo used to speak about this all the time, when even the lost world had a regard and had a respect for the church, for Christians, and Christianity. It was like there was a clear difference in saved and lost. And people who did not know the Lord, did not go to church, didn't claim it, would say that, no, I know they're right. I know what they're saying is true. You know, Sundays used to be, there was respect for Sundays. There was a respect for the church. I remember when I was a kid, teenager, there was a song. Charlie Daniels sung a song called Long-Haired Country Boy. And in that song, he talked about the differences he had with a preacher, but he knew what the preacher said was true. And that's the way the world felt. But it's no longer like that. Now, you're the enemy. Okay? There was respect for Christians and the church in general. Now, I've spoken about the last few weeks about some religious movements. We brought it in under Pentecost, some the latter rain, some of the others that you have to be careful about as Christians, as Bible-believing, God-fearing Christians that you need to be aware of, that you don't get drug into that. But now, we're going through a stage of a counterfeit, what's called progressive Christian movement. And June is its calling card. But you see, there's always a counterfeit movement to Christ, even in the Bible. So, 2 Timothy, you don't have to turn But 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, and these are familiar scripture. Paul tells Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. What does that mean? That they're just not going to say, well, I'm not going to have nothing to do with it. I'm not going to go to church, or I'm not going to have anything to do with religion. I'm just going to go my way, and I'm going to be like my grandfather was and said, yes, I understand what they're saying is correct. I just don't want any part of it. Now it's going to be, well, we're going to change what they say is true. No, we're going to be involved, but it's going to be our way and our beliefs, and we're going to ram that down your throat. And they will turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned into fables. This happens all the time. The Old Testament is full of it. It's absolutely full of these examples. So in 1 Kings 12, verses 26 through 33 are where we want to go. But I want to draw where we were at, the events that leads up to this. A backdrop here. So, King Solomon has died. And the northern kingdoms gathered to crown his son, Rehoboam, as king. Now, Solomon had gone against God in many ways. When Solomon started out as king, he was, we all know, we'd like to be as wise as Solomon. He had God's blessing, but through just his lust for everything, he had to have more and more and more and more. Whether it was wives, whether it was money, whether it was power, whether it was gold, what have you. And he went away from God. And toward the end of his reign, he had instituted heavy taxation and forced labor upon the Israelites. Obviously, they weren't happy about that. So when Rehoboam was going to be anointed king, the elders advised him to do away with the taxes and the forced labor. But instead, he listens to his friends, and he says in 1 Kings that he would even add to the people's yoke. So this is where we had the split in Israel. You've got 12 tribes, 10 to the north, 2 to the south. So the northern 10 tribes split away from him and left only the southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin. Okay, so that's where the split came. The northern tribes appointed Jeroboam still as the new king. Now here's the issue. Jerusalem was in the southern kingdoms. Okay? So Jeroboam was afraid his people would go there to worship at the temple, and in doing so, they would pledge their allegiance to the southern king. So instead, he does this. Okay? So here's his goal. I can't have them going to Jerusalem to the temple to worship God. This is totally political. And he says, I'm going to set up a new type of worship based on political popularity and compromise. So go to 1 Kings 12, look at verses 26 through 33. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord. So what's he saying? I don't want them. I don't want their hearts to turn to the Lord. I'm the king. I'm God. I want it turned to me. Don't worship God. Worship man, right? Even unto Rehoboam of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So Jeroboam, these names are close. Jeroboam's the king of the north, Rehoboam's king of the south. Whereupon the king took counsel, and look what he does. Instead of worshiping God at the temple, they do what? He made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. So they're going to worship these idols. He said, this is what brought you out of Egypt, not Jehovah. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest people, which were not of the sons of Levi. So you know that to be a priest, you had to be out of the son of Levi. That tribe, that's one of the 12 tribes. So he appoints people that are not qualified, number one. And number two, goes against clearly what God had said. Your priest will be out of the tribe of Levi. So he goes against that. He sets up false worship. He sets up false priests. He sets up a false counterfeit religion. Verse 32, and Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month of the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is into Judah. So just like it. Total counterfeit. And he offered upon the altar. And so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the 8th month, even in that month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. So everything he's doing is false. It's totally against what God said to do. It was a cult. It was a false religion. It was anti-God. So what happened? What is the outcome of this? God obviously did not ordain this. He did not bless it. So this, even despite that, it still led to a migration of many of the northern kingdom's top people. They knew better than this, and they knew what kind of leader he was going to be. And they said, we got to get out of here. Okay? The northern kingdom's government was unstable after this. There were years of civil war between the two kingdoms. God's way and his plan is always the one that works. If you know and you're convicted about something and you say, I know God, this is what he wants me to do, this is the way he wants me to go about it, and you choose another way, you're in direct rebellion. God's way is clear. And if you seek the Lord, you may be, there may be things that you're confused on and you don't know. But for the most part, you know what the right way is and the wrong way is. But you need to pray to God. You need to seek the Lord about it. On issues, but if you know what the direction the Lord wants you to go in something and you do the opposite, you're in rebellion, and the Lord will never bless that. God's way works if you have faith and stick to it and believe it. God's way always works in your life. God's way, I'm going to tell you what God's way doesn't work. When I get down about stuff and I get on other stuff away from the Lord and I start, and you bring in all this crap, pardon my French, into your life and into your thought process, it shouldn't be there. Just minor, even if it's minor stuff. If you bring minor stuff into your life away from the Lord, it will affect your equilibrium, and you can tell something's just off. You ever been there? You can tell something's just off. So Jeroboam's false worship and false gods led to anarchy. Never had a kingdom of Israel since. Okay? We will one day. But look what all it led to, simply because him saying, I'm not going to obey God, and I'm going to set up false worship for false gods. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And that's what this is based on today. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way but Jesus Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 4. So we looked at Acts 2 weeks ago, Acts 3 last week. I'm going to look at Acts 4 just for a second today. This is just an example. This is not what we're the scripture that we're based on. So if you remember, last week in Acts 3, the lame man's healed out front of the temple gates. He's rejoicing. And he goes through, you can imagine, somebody that's been crippled their whole life, and all of a sudden he can walk. There's no issues, and he's screaming and yelling and praising the Lord and running through the temple. And it gives, and they say, what's happened? This is the guy that was crippled that's laid out in front of the temple. Remember, there's thousands of people there. It's one of the most busiest places on earth. And all of a sudden, you see that, and they say, well, what's happened? And it gives Peter the perfect time to get up and tell them that Jesus is the Messiah, to give his message and to present the kingdom to the nation of Israel, because it's in the temple. But you know what happens. There's going to be a price to pay for that, right? There's going to be persecution. They drag them up in front of the leaders of the temple. They said, okay, what's going on here? You tell us what's happening. And obviously, they were beaten for it. But here's what he says in verses 8 through 12. Peter was bold. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people, so he's speaking to the religious rulers in the temple, and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent men, by what means is he made whole? So he said, this man who was crippled, if we look and try to figure out how he was healed, what answer are we going to come up with, right? Be it known unto y'all, he spoke southern Hebrew. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you. So it was done by Christ. This Christ that you crucified, this Jesus, he was the Christ. He was who he said he was. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Now, we all know that Christ is the stumbling block. He is that chief cornerstone, right? Now, here he goes. And I think this is, he makes it more plain than Jesus said, that I'm the way, the truth, and the light. No man comes to the Father by me. It doesn't get any clearer than this. Verse 12, this is what I've got highlighted. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name, or no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Can it get more clear than that? Is there am I missing something here? Is there some type of question mark, or there some type of semantics or play on words where you can go somewhere else and have your relationship with God and come to a direct relationship with God and receive eternal life besides Jesus Christ? Ken, am I off here? Am I off somewhere?
No.
I don't think there is, but you're hearing now over and over and over and over out in the world, out in the media, out on these platforms that reach so many people that, no, you could... there's other ways. You know, you don't have to go through Jesus Christ. There's other ways. And we're especially hearing it now at this time of the year. And that's where I want to go. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. John made it clear. And one of the things that he did in 1 John was make it clear that there were all these people saying that Jesus was not the Christ and Christ does not come. And he made it clear that that is not the case. And he sets the difference between the two that says, yes, Jesus is the Christ, and those that say he's not. So verses 22 and 25. 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 through 25. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? So he makes that clear. You say Jesus is not the Christ. It's raining pretty hard out there. I might get to go for 3-4 hours, dude. It settles down. Okay, who is a liar but he to deny that Jesus is the Christ? He says that's the liar. The one who denies that Jesus is God's Son, that Jesus is the Messiah, that's the one not telling the truth. He goes so far as to call him a liar. He that denieth the Father and the Son. Verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same has not the Father. So, let me say this. You'll hear this a lot. You hear this a lot with famous people. You'll hear it a lot with athletes. Well, I thank God. God, you'll see it all the time. I don't have Facebook. You'll hear somebody on Facebook or read somebody on Facebook and they're just thanking God. God's great. God's this. God is that. And then 2 posts later, they're using his name with a D word on the end of it. And they're using all kind of profanities. And and you're like, is this the same person that like 2 posts ago just talked how good God is, that God, they believe, thank God that they believe in God. God can be anything. God can be that microphone. God can be whatever you want it to be in your screwed up version of it. Okay? You can make God anything. So these people that mention all the time and they go, oh, these are great Christian people, they never mention Jesus. God, that can be a very, very wide parameter. We know what God is. That's what I'm going to get to here. These individuals don't. They make God to be out everything else except what he truly is. Okay? Jesus brings much more of a definition to it, to what God actually is. Okay? Now, he said, Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised unto us, even in eternal life. You continue in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ is God the Son. He is the Messiah. He is the King. He is our Savior. You continue in that, and John says there's eternal life for you. But there's no other place you're going to get it. And that tells me if you don't continue in it, if you look for it somewhere else and you settle for it somewhere else, there's not eternal life in heaven for you. Sometimes it's as much what it doesn't say as it is what it does say. The Bible is clear that Jesus is the Messiah and God is the Son. Okay? God the Son, the second part of the Trinity. Yet many deny that and believe they are in good standing with God, even if there is such a thing with God. I'm going to go here for the next little bit into some places that are very uncomfortable. I didn't even know if I would mention some of these things up here today, but I'm going to. In the last few weeks, I've brought up religious movements, but ones that I've told you are Christian movements. I believe they're Christian people. I believe they are. They don't rightfully divide, and it leads to confusion. There is a big difference in not rightfully dividing. I can agree to disagree of other denominations in this county or wherever. Doesn't mean they're not a Christian. They can disagree with me. Doesn't mean that I'm not a Christian. But when you deny Jesus Christ, that's the deal breaker. There's no going back. That's not a different denomination, that is a false religion, a cult. Let's be clear on this. So, I know everybody in here watches The View and just loves it. Oh, I want to go sit in that audience so bad, that's on my bucket list. So, Joy Behar. Boy, she's a good one. Joy Behar in April on The View, may have even been Easter week, said this, and I quote, I have it in quotations, I listened to it to make sure I had it right. Quote, Jesus did not run around saying, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Messiah. And she was contradicted, believe it or not, by some on that show. She went so far that even they said, now you've got to hold up a minute, hit the brakes. He did say that. And when she was corrected, she said it was, quote, narcissistic of Jesus to make such a claim. Okay? Narcissistic. What's that mean? In love with himself. Not the power, he's a narcissist. He's just in, you know, power hungry to say he is the only way. That's where you're at in the world today. That this progressive movement of, I don't even call it Christianity, I don't know what you call it, but this progressive movement, let's call it Christianity, okay? And just the outright deniers and people that scoff at God can come together and find common ground. I find no common ground with them whatsoever. Zero. Okay? Now, like I said, it's going to get uncomfortable with some things I'm going to say here. And these are all quotes. The pastor of the Trinity Lutheran Church in North Bethesda, Maryland, and I watched the video, there is a website called Protestia that these they film their church services and they show these things, and you can watch these clips. It's unbelievable. They're all over the place, man. I mean, just crazy. So, the pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in North Bethesda, Maryland, said this behind the pulpit. Too often, Jesus' statement that no one comes to the Father except through me has been interpreted to be exclusive access to salvation, like it's only available to Christians. She called it exclusive guardrails. So what she's saying, no matter what your religion is, if you want it through Buddhism, if you want it through Hinduism, if you want to worship a cow, if you want to worship that flower pot, whatever you want to go to, that'll get you. That's good enough. That's the way God intended it. There's more ways than Jesus. There's a Lutheran pastor named Glenn Seafelt of the ELCA, and I'm going to get into some of these denominations, that says that Jesus is the only way to God is an ideology that leads to superiority and judgment. This is the same kind of thinking that led Hitler to kill millions of Jews. Paul suggests many, if not all, world religions can be a path to God. You show me one place in the Bible, even close to Paul saying all religions lead to God. We go through Paul every week. You show me one. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you my house keys. I'll give you my car keys. I'll give you everything I own. I'll give you my bills too. I'll let you. There's no point. Where do they dream up this stuff? He said, I. Now, okay. So he said, Paul says that many, if not all world religions, can be a path to God. And then he finished with this. I no longer believe Jesus is the only way to know God. Said this from the pulpit. Reverend Anna Flowers of First United Church in Walpole, Massachusetts. Quote, saying you have to claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior or you won't get to heaven makes no sense. I am the way, the truth, and the life is not literal, and there are many valid religions and ways to find Jesus. Unquote. So, listen, you're going to be bombarded. This stuff is really starting to catch hold. You've got a guy running for Senate, United States Senator in the state of Texas, that's running on his stuff. Listen to him. I heard him Friday saying the same thing. And he talks more about that. He is open with it. And you're going to get bombarded and you're going to get hit with it as the world keeps going. Okay? Because it's out in the open now. The toothpaste is out of the tube. You can't put it back in. Reverend Mark Sandlin of the Presbyterian Church of the Covenant in Greensboro, North Carolina, said from behind the pulpit, Jesus is not my God. I don't believe Jesus is God. We're brash about it, man. They're open. Turn to Romans 1. Turn to Romans 1. Like I said, I know this is a different style for me. But I want you to understand that the just because somebody says God, they can be as far away from God as possible. I mean, this is a blasphemy. And doing it in the name of God. We need to be aware. We need to be aware. A lot of the mainline denominations that 50 and 60 years ago, a lot of Christians came up in, and there's people in his church that came up in them, they've totally lost their minds. They've lost their minds. So look at verse 21. Romans 1 is about the descent of society. Okay? One thing leads to another, and then that thing leads to something else, and that leads to something else, and that leads to something else, and the next thing you know, you spiraled, right? And that's where we've been at. That's where things keep snowballing. So verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Look at verse 23. And they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God. So this is what Jeroboam did in 1 Kings. And this is what people are doing today. Jesus, I don't believe Jesus is God. Right? And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like corruptible man. And the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Anything leads to heaven, right? Whatever you want it to be. Verse 25. Look at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped this creature more than the Creator and who is blessed forever. Amen. So Paul's clear. You know that Paul said you could go any route you wanted to go, that all religions leads to God, you know? Same one. I know there's a lot of different Pauls out there, but this is Saul of Tarsus, you know, that guy. So, here's what you're going to get this month and every month moving forward from the progressive churches. So you say, what are the progressive churches? These have gone the way to be, and I don't even want to use the word liberal. It's easy to say conservative and liberal and all. It's far beyond that. Okay? It is where they put social justice over the Bible. Okay? Over the Word of God. Social justice comes before anything else. The way they see politics. And they've woven this religion around it. It's a false political system. It's false religious. A religious system. A false religion. Most, like I said, most mainline denominations have gone this route. Here are a couple. The United Churches of Christ. Okay? That's not the Church of Christ like we have over here. That's a different thing. It's not like these local. Totally different things. So, but the United Churches of Christ. You remember Obama's pastor in Chicago? GD America? Remember that? That's what he was in. Okay? The Episcopal or Anglican Church. Okay? We all know the Episcopals, they've gone. Now, there's some who are more conservative that have pulled out, but the mainline Episcopal and Anglican denominations are as progressive as you can get. Okay? The Presbyterian Church USA, there's a conservative, I say I wouldn't use conservative and liberal, but here I am. There's a conservative Presbyterian Church and there's a liberal. The liberal one is Presbyterian Church USA, or you'll hear it called PCUSA. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. When I quoted two pastors a while ago in the ELCA, I said ELCA, that's what it is. Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. The Unitarians or Universalists. That's one. There's one of those churches in Florence. And yes, the United Methodist Church. A lot of us came up in the United Methodist Church. There's families here that came up in that. Now, our churches here, several years ago, many of them voted to pull out of the United Methodist denomination. And now they're independent. We First Fellowship over here. Shawnee T, there's been several. It has gotten to the point, once they pulled out, it has gotten to the point where their theology and everything they believe is so progressive, they go right into this stuff. I mean, stuff that if you would have told people, and look, I've really felt for friends that I have here. I went over there. But I hadn't been a Methodist all my life. I went there for a few years. But people who had been in that denomination their entire lives, I really hurt for them because I know how much it hurt them because that they felt like that denomination had left them. That was part of their lives. They loved that church. And that was a tough decision, and I admire them for doing it. But what that denomination stands for now and what they believe and what they grew up in, you know, it's not even close. It's totally went off the rails. Now, this is really going to get uncomfortable, but I feel like the Lord wants me to say it. It's out there. I need you to know how far these people have gone. You are not to get mixed up in this stuff. Just because somebody goes to church, you better be careful and find out where they go to church. If they go, you better be careful. Then you'll end up in a mess. So the pastor of Zion Lutheran Church, and it did not give the town on Protestia, the ELCA gives this call of worship before church, and God forgive me for saying this. I quote, this is the prayer. Strange one, fabulous one, fluid and ever-becoming one, you are mother, father, and parent. You are drag queen and trans man and gender fluid, incapable of limiting your vast expression of beauty. That is your worship prayer before church in the ELCA. You tell me, well, long as you go to church, you're okay. No, you're not. You'd be better off staying at home listening to that stuff. You'd be better off running out here in front of traffic out here in the road than listening to that. Lord, I do. If I ever get called out, if I ever end up going somewhere like that, just if you see me cross the street, you hit the floorboard with your gas pedal as hard as you can hit it. Put me out of my misery. This is a right to carry state. Just make it painless. Another pastor in ELCA preached this. And listen, I've seen the video clips. I went through the last few days and watched this stuff. These are quotes. We celebrate you. Praying to God. Whatever God that is. We celebrate you being divinely queer, created in God's image because Jesus was a drag queen. Jesus is a lesbian woman with two kids. Jesus is a young trans man. God is a God of many pronouns you embody as what is affirming you to you. Unquote. Happy June. That's what you're going to get. They've mixed all this stuff up with religion, people. And this is what their religion says. They've mixed it all up. And now it's a false religion. It's an antichrist. They're doing all this in the name of religion. And you say, well, they go to church. They're fine. You know, they go. No. It's totally different. Now, if you look in Romans 1, and think that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to quote any of the rest of that. And forgive me for doing it. But in verses 24, 26, and 28... in Romans 1, what do you notice? What do you notice in each one? It says God gave them up or God gave them over. God won't deal with this. You do it, and man, I'm telling you, I would be scared to death to come out and say something like that. I'd be terrified. Can you imagine? God won't deal with it. The Bible says God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, he also reaps. So it says they did this and it got worse. They went to this and God just gave them up. And they went into this and God gave them up. And now, when you said, I thought God goes, his grace goes to the end. It does. But God, you can come to a point in your lifestyle. That's where addictions start. Okay? And it can go into other things. And it goes into the spiritual here. It's all spiritual. You go into this, and God says, all right, you can do it one of two ways. I'm not going to make you do it my way. You get turned over into this stuff. Okay? Jesus is the only way. And God is the Holy God. I'm going to give the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and all them, I'm going to give them credit. At least they believe in living the right way. At least we disagree a lot. I don't believe they're Christians, but at least they believe there's a God. They're not saying all this stuff. I believe I could handle some guy telling me he's a prophet before I could listen to this other stuff. I could. Okay, I mean, you take Joseph Smith, founded the Mormon church. Well, he's one of the 12 disciples compared to this bunch. Ask any of these progressives, ask any of them if Jesus is the Christ or the only way to God. Ask any of them. People who will tell you, who you say, well, you're not sure what kind of church they're in, but you find them, you ask them. There's one way. Is Jesus the only way to God? See what their answer is. You may be surprised. These individuals are walking testimonies of God giving them up or turning them over into unrighteousness. Remember this. Blasphemous theology and blasphemous lifestyles go hand in hand. There's nobody there in those churches to put the brakes on what they are doing. And what they believe. They just turn them loose and it just snowballs and it goes more and more. As society decays, you can believe they will come more and more prevalent. Turn to Isaiah 5. And this will be coming to a close. Isaiah 5, verse 20 through 21. It actually, you hear a lot, and you've heard these verses, and they say in the last days that you'll hear this, but it's actually Isaiah was saying this about his generation. Bible believing things changed. Nothing's changed. And Paul says in the Bible, yeah, let Paul says be saved any way you want to. Paul says in the Bible that all scripture is for our benefit, for our education. We learn from these examples. Okay? So Isaiah 5, 20 through 21. Verses 20 and 21. Isaiah says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." Watch the news. Turning Point USA. I'm not here to promote Turning Point, Turn Away, Turning Point, any of that stuff. But did you see the demonstrators out in front of Turning Point? They were in San Antonio. It's with the ladies. The women were there. And like I said, I'm not here either way. This is not about Turning Point. This is about protesters. What they did and some of the signs that they had about Christians, about God, about abortion, about some of those things, about the Bible, I would be scared to touch that side. Now, so you've got to look who these enemies are. So you'll watch the news and you'll watch these things. They'll tell you these people are right. And they'll tell you that people that come out and make statements for God are wrong. Things that you would never think were right or wrong before are now being twisted up. And that's where your society, and that's what your kids will be. You make sure with your kids and your grandkids, you are teaching them the, not just right from wrong, the right way from the wrong way. Because, man, they're going to get out in the world and they're going to hear all kinds of stuff. "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness." So he says, woe. And at that time, you say, what does that mean? It's basically almost like a curse or something. Okay? I couldn't give them a worse buildup than what I'm giving them. "They put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." So they exchange. They exchange. And you're seeing it now. You're seeing it now. You don't go along with stuff this month, man, you're the biggest bigot. You're the biggest piece of trash that's ever lived. That's what you're being told. "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes." If you've met people like this, they're the smartest people in the room. They'll tell you what's right and wrong. They'll tell you what they believe, and they'll tell you what you need to believe. And because there, doesn't have anything to do with the Word of God. It has to do with their own judgment and their own philosophy and their own intellect, and they are smarter than you are, and they can't wait to tell you how much smarter they are. It always works like that. I've known a bunch of people like that. And I'm like, what you're saying has nothing to do, and it always comes down on politics, and I'm saying what you're saying is totally contradicts the Bible, but hey, they're smarter than God, right? "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Be careful of them. So what did you say this for? Number one, we need to know. We've talked about a lot of them are conservative. And then you're like this, and you get progressive. And like I said, those conservative ones, at least they believe in something. Okay? Be very, very careful. You'll hear so much on the news. You'll hear so much on social media. You'll go to Facebook. You'll go to Twitter. You'll go to all this stuff. And you'll end up, after you read, you're going to go, maybe, well, do I need to second guess myself? Do I need to do a self-check? Maybe I'm wrong. You know, society's telling me how bad it, maybe, is it me? You never, ever will go on the wrong way or down the wrong path by following the Bible. Never, ever. Know what it says. Know what these other people believe. You have children or grandchildren. No, I'm going to go to church with somebody. You better find out what they're being taught. Where they're going. Brother Leo used to say all the time, it matters where you're saved. I remember him saying it. It makes a difference. Now, it really makes a difference if that person thinks I can be saved or I come to God worshiping a cow. Makes a huge difference. You need to stay in these times. You need to stay in the Word. You need to stay prayed up. You need to be aware of what's going on. Like I said, you get some of this stuff's hard to watch. Protestia is, I think, a very good site. Protestia. And what it'll have on there, it's going to show you a lot of these clips and a lot of what these churches, what they're promoting and what they're saying. It basically calls out false teachers. Now, they'll be on the charismatics a lot. They'll be on those. And I would say that site is probably a Calvinist tent, to be honest with you. But the outright blasphemers they're calling out, you need to be aware. So in this day and age, you understand in this month of diversity, the greatest diverse gift that was ever given in this world is the body of Christ. It's not for man, it's not for woman, it's not for any color, or it's not, what I mean was, it's not limited. It's for everybody. Male, female, any color, any nationality. And there's nobody in it greater than anybody else. The Bible says when one hurts, we all hurt. And it mentions the body. You get this pain. And if your finger hurts, your whole body hurts. If you have a headache, your whole body hurts. You're all important. You're all equal in this body. If you want diversity and equality, I give you the body of Christ paid for by Jesus' precious blood on that cross. That's what saves. Don't go any other direction. Stay prayed up. Stay educated. Know what's out there in this world. Just because there's a church behind it or some woman up there with her head shaved and painted purple with a collar on talking to you, that doesn't mean it's true. Martha Jo? And outside of that, have a happy Sunday. Martha Jo, if you're about, and just pray, Lord, through this, as times get worse and worse and worse, help me stay close to you. Help me look to you. Help me. And I need it in my life. I told you, not even on this stuff here, but I let the silliest stuff. Say amen, Missy. I let the silliest stuff bother me. And I'm not talking about looking this stuff bother me. I'm talking about stuff that happens from day to day in my life, and I let it bother me. And like I said, and I'll be like, man, it ain't, I can feel, man, I just ain't right. I mean, I'm just, my equilibrium, it just, my things are off. You need, if I would stay in the, thinking about the Lord more, what's really important, I wouldn't get this. I'm admitting it to everybody. We need to stay in the Lord. Stay in the Lord. That's a joke.